Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Government telling me what medicines or foods or anything that I have to take. I don't care if it's vitamin C and it's good for you. I take vitamin C every day. I don't want the government forcing me to take it.
That is Pichelle Schneier, a local political activist and Republican, talking at the ECUA meeting yesterday, where once again the subject of fluoride came up a bunch because of the possibility, I think, high likelihood of us having a referendum in 2026 on this matter, something that's been in place for, you know, about 26 or 7 years. I think it was 1998 is when the last one took place, you know, to add fluoride to the water back then. At the prior meeting, you had a lot of the activists against fluoride show up. And then now, as it was actually mentioned at the time, one of the ECUA board members says the pro-fluoride people are safely nestled in their caves sleeping, you know, not paying attention to all of this. And so some of them showed up yesterday. Particularly, you had dentists. John Hodge showed up. He is a local dentist.
As far as when the mechanics of brushing and flossing and oral rinses and things like that, people who are, the children need help with that, as well as the elderly need help with that. So when they don't have that, you see it. You see it clinically. You see a lot more tooth decay, periodontal disease, tooth loss, all the whole gamut.
And, of course, what he's getting at is that the average person, say, you know, able-bodied, ordinary age, wealthy enough, you know, middle-class person, you know, you brush your teeth and you do fluoride rinse and you floss and you're good. You may not need fluoride in the water. I don't need fluoride in the water. But children, especially poor children, the elderly, disabled, folks like that, it's a help. It's an additional thing to help them with their oral care, he says. And, you know, evidence seems to support that.
Now, fluoridation is not meant to take care of all of it. It's just an adjunct to everything else. And you have to do everything else. You know, if you don't do everything else and you just have fluoride, you're going to be susceptible to a lot of problems.
Yeah, which is kind of an interesting thing because it is an assistant, but it is not the everything. If that's all you do, it isn't going to solve. You know, so then you can raise the question of what's the marginal benefit of having it in the water, weighed off against the marginal risk. As is evident, there is some risk, especially at higher amounts, you know, to especially cognitive development for young children, you know, neurological development for young children. That's where this issue is really being hashed out as a practical matter of whether it's good or bad. And then, of course, you have the kind of the prior matter of even if it's good or bad, who cares? We shouldn't be putting medicine in the water for everybody to take, regardless of their prescriptions or regardless of what they want, and it's not something that should be added as a moral matter, aside from the question of whether it's actually good for some people or harmful to other people.
Thankful for the fluoridation. I've been here long enough to see the effects of it and how we have a somewhat healthy community, but again, we still have an issue that tooth decay has not been eradicated by any stretch. And if anything, man keeps, you know, digging his own grave and jumping into it. So I say that because a lot of our food products, high refined carbohydrates, highly acidic beverages that we have, high sugar concentrations, it's just really is not something that man was meant to have in his diet daily, because it will do a lot of destruction. And in my profession, it's the oral cavity, and it does a lot.
Yeah, and obviously our diet puts us a little bit more at risk, and we all eat very poorly. I accept the risk because I'm too attached to the yummy food that I like, but I get where he's coming from. Lois Benson, who's a board member, made an interesting comment. I'm not playing everybody's comments. I'm playing the ones that are new to the conversation. One of the things you might notice about me is I don't love to repeat myself particularly, and I'm actually of the opinion that if you make a good point, I kind of remember that and I adjust. A lot of people do not adapt to new information very well, and so somebody answers an objection, and then they, like, go back to saying the same old thing again. I'm like, well, you're not really playing this game the way it's supposed to be played. That issue has been solved. We can move on. And I thought Lois Benson actually made a really good point, because the advocates for removing the fluoride in the water keep emphasizing how Joe Latipo, the Surgeon General for the state of Florida, has advised against it, and you have several municipalities who have done so. I think that's significant, too. And I think Joe Latipo is a really, you know, smart guy. But it is worth keeping in mind what Lois Benson says.
Surgeon General in Florida is a position that's a political appointment. And I think we all need to remember that he probably does not articulate what the healthcare and public health community consensus is on this subject. You know, I think we listen to him because he's appointed to that, but there is another side of that issue.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why it's important to listen to all of those sides, including not just John Hodge, a dentist who showed up yesterday, but Greg Digby, another local dentist who showed up yesterday. And based on his conversation, I think Greg is a pretty good researcher, understands the science and explained it fairly well. I'll share those clips with you a little bit later. But this is actually kind of an important point. I taught logic for about 10 years, okay? And so I take this process, this game, if you want to call it, the idea of evaluating arguments, of thinking through implications, evidence, avoiding logical fallacies, I take that stuff really, really seriously. Almost to the point where, and this is maybe going to sound like a weird thing to say, and I apologize if it does, but I'm bad at lying. You know, I'm like bad at it. I don't practice it. I don't believe in it. I don't think it's good. And as a consequence, I'm not very good at it. I am also really bad at being illogical. And I know that sounds like a self-serving compliment, but what I mean is I can't make what I think are irrational arguments. Like, I just, it's anathema to me. So if I hear a good idea that corrects me, I will adapt to it because I'm no longer capable of making the bad one. And most people don't have that. Most people make terrible arguments. That's why it's important to teach logic. That's why, honestly, we should be teaching logic like we teach math, like we teach English, like we teach history. Every grade throughout education, we should be teaching people how to reason because they're generally very, very bad at it. Take it from experience, I know. So when I hear good arguments or when I make it, you don't hear me make a lot of, you might disagree with me, but just like I really just have trouble with the idea of lying. I have trouble with the idea of being illogical, being irrational. And the reason I mention that is because in this case, you've got, though I agree with the anti-fluoride people that we need to have the conversation, I agree with them probably that you shouldn't be medicating people through their water. I don't agree that fluoride itself is dangerous, but you can agree on one and not the other. But the anti-fluoride people do make logical fallacies, you know, and they're important ones. It doesn't mean they're wrong. You know, you can have an argument that's not well supported by the rules of reasoning and still wind up with the right answer. That's actually one of the rules of reasoning is that, you know, if you have good evidence and bad reasoning, you can still have the right answer by luck. If you have bad evidence and good reasoning, you can still have the right answer by luck. The only trick is if you have good evidence and sound reasoning, you can't get a wrong answer. That's the rule in logic. Everything else is, you know, basically luck. But I'll come back and explain why in just a second. PJ's got our traffic on the fives. PJ?
Traffic's brought to you by Jerry's Drive-In, home of the original bacon cheeseburger for 86 years. Open Monday through Saturday in East Pensacola Heights, Jerry's Drive-In. Taking a look at the big board, just one point of interest right now, vehicle crash with a roadblock at US 90 at Santa Villa Drive. Again, the roadway is blocked, so use caution in that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So I was telling you how, you know, I speak the language and architecture of logic and reasoning like most people would just speak the language, you know, like it's just kind of, I've been trained on this stuff for so long, like since the, you know, second and third grade. I mean, seriously, like I had the blessing of getting logic classes in early grade school. It's crazy. It was a thing they called Harry Stottlemyre back in the day. Anyway, and so like I'm always thinking and observing when people say things that are at odds with each other. And one is over this question of Joe Latipo. You know, the anti-fluoride people are super excited that Joe Latipo doesn't believe in putting fluoride in the water. And they emphasize the fact that he's the Surgeon General of the state of Florida. But those same people, and I won't name names, but those same people, at least some of them, turn right around and feel no reluctance to completely shred Anthony Fauci. or any of the people that were associated with the health advice given during the pandemic. And the problem with that is, if you're going to believe in somebody's credibility on the basis of their authority because they're an expert in a subject matter, like Joe Latipo is, you must give credit to people evenly based on their expertise in that same subject matter. And it's going to drive them crazy, I'm saying this, but you can't tout Joe Latipo when he agrees with you as a subject matter expert and then rip Anthony Fauci when he disagrees with you without acknowledging that he is also a subject matter expert. And I'm telling you that at least some of the anti-fluoride people are also really rabid, like anti-COVID vaccine types. And that's perfectly their right. I mean, you can have any opinion you want, but you've got to be consistent if you want me to pay attention to you and take you seriously. And so if you're going to lean heavily on Joe Latipo as your source of anti-fluoridation advice, you've got to be willing to lean on other experts when they disagree with you. Because if all you do is emphasize the expertise of people who say what you want to say, you're not trusting the expertise. You're just trusting yourself. And you're making yourself the expert. And I'm just sort of telling you from experience, being consistent about the value of expertise in the process of reasoning is something that people do quite poorly. It's very, very common to say, oh, listen to so-and-so. He's an expert, and that's why he's right. Well, what about this other expert who's even more credentialed? Oh, he's a complete idiot. Okay, you're an American. That's fine. You can judge for yourself. But, you know, you're not really making an appeal to authority. You're pretending to make it. People do this with the Bible all the time. You know, I believe in the Bible, and this is why I do this, because it says right here, you know, in 2 Corinthians, this is what you should do. You know, but it says over here in Timothy. That was contextual for the time. You know, that was just Paul writing to a specific circumstance. That doesn't have anything to do with... Okay. You're not really a believer in the Bible. You're a believer in you. And when it happens to say what you want it to say in the Bible, you're like, yay, Bible. And then when it says something you don't want it to say in the Bible, you're like, you know. Or you know, but that's the same thing. The Constitution is great when it says this. I don't want to talk about it so much when it says this. The Supreme Court says this, and when it's, it's awesome. And then we don't. Be consistent. That's all. Now, it's much more easily said than done. But that's the rules of this game called reasoning. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to get great advice from somebody who's got good expertise through experience. You know, some people sell a couple of homes a year, and that's wonderful. It's more than I sell. But also, some people sell 3.5 homes a week. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Love and Rinky Realty. 175 homes in 23, 165 homes last year in the height of the real estate market when it was easy, you know, like 250 homes a year. Okay? But that's a lot of experience again and again and again and again. That means they know how to identify the value of a home. They know how to set it properly, stage it, list it, photograph it, do the open house, and then get you all the way through to what you really want, which is when you actually get the money because you have a closing. And every part of that process is challenging. Well, they've got a lot of experience solving the challenge. And that's the kind of people that you want working for you. 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss this Friday at 9 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We have had our close calls in the past.
Screw it! It's television! Yes! Yes! I did it! I'm on the Truman Show!
Good morning, 6:25 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Somebody says, I've noticed in the last several years there's kind of an anti-science, anti-education, anti-intellectualism in the Republican Party, and I hate being lumped in with those folks as a conservative. No, I totally agree. That just is. It's part of populism. It's, I think, in part a reaction to what is perceived as misguided intellectualism or liberalism having taken over the academy or something like that. But yeah, there really has been kind of this anti-science bias, bigotry. It's which is a way of defending yourself for being less educated. I love science. I don't agree with what people say science says. In fact, one of the funny things is when people, you disagree with the science. No, I just think science is great when it stays in its domain. You know, repeatable, testable phenomenon with disprovable hypotheses that, are subject to scrutiny and presumed to be wrong before they're proclaimed to be true. That's where science is really strong. The problem, as a good historian or philosopher of science will tell you, is when science gets outside of that domain and starts talking about untestable, undisprovable, or historical phenomena that can only have been done one time because they don't repeat. Science is not so good at that. And, the fact that science changes its mind or that the evidence of science, that's normal. That's good. You want a corrective mechanism. That's what logic is supposed to do. It's supposed to be able to correct you when you make mistakes. I wish science didn't do quite so frequent changing of its mind. That would give me greater confidence. But I love science. And you say, well, then why do you believe that? Because I don't think the science is settled, and I also don't think that's actually science. That's a different topic altogether. But anyway, different conversation for a different day. But yes, anti-intellectualism, certainly a problem. And I agree with that criticism. PJ is sitting in for John all this week. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulk Waste Services now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Taking a look at the big board, still just that vehicle crash with a roadblock at US 90 and Santa Villa Drive in Milton. Use caution in that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, there's a new Trump policy that will require illegal immigrants to register with the government or possibly face imprisonment. This plan announced yesterday calls for undocumented immigrants 14 and older to register, get fingerprinted, and create an online account with Citizenship and Immigration Services. And if they don't register, they'd be in violation of federal law.
Also, give me 5 things you did last week or you lose your job and get deported. It sounds vaguely familiar. Anyway, go ahead.
Apple apparently is keeping the company's DEI programs in place. The company's shareholders voted to keep going with those programs, opposing efforts by conservatives to get rid of DEI. The Trump administration has targeted similar programs. And boy, did you see the Southwest flight in Chicago?
Oh, my God. This video is...
Oh, my goodness.
I'm a believer in the safety of air travel, but I watched that video. It does not make me happy.
So the FAA is saying that the passenger plane, which touched down and then shot right back up to avoid a plane that was kind of crossed their runway, that plane apparently was not listening to air traffic control and was there without authorization.
The Crossways plane.
Right.
The Southwest jet was fine.
Right.
That guy's a hero.
Yeah.
And he did a touch and go, and which is not normally what you do in a commercial airliner. The passengers didn't even know what was going on. They're like, oh, what are we doing? Why are we taking off?
Talk about a pilot not being asleep at the switch,
oh
right?
Oh, my God. Thank goodness.
Yes, he was doing great.
Yeah, because that could have been catastrophic for sure. And, you know, there's a lot of times when I think these kind of close call news stories are, well, but in the end, nothing happened, right? I mean, that's, you know, it was a near collision, right? But this was a... Wow, this would have been, you can easily see based on how they were behaving and what would have happened had he kept on going, that this would have been really bad.
Now, just imagine the people who were on that plane when they saw that going on social media after they got off.
Oh, my God, that was us? Because they surely didn't know. And you can't, if you're in the plane passenger seats looking out the side window, you cannot see the thing that is in front of the plane because, you know, the plane's in the way. So they had no idea. And I'm sure that the captain, because they interviewed one of the passengers, and I'm sure the captain didn't come on. We just pulled up from that landing because we were about to run into another plane. No worries, folks. We'll bring you right around for another landing here in just a minute. It'll be smooth as butter. And I'm sure it was, but he did not say that.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. House Republicans passed their big budget blueprint 217 to 215 after some last-minute convincing. Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
When you're bringing a big bill to the floor, you're having conversations with those members that are on the fence all the way up until the vote's closed.
We're going to slash and burn Medicaid, slash and burn veterans benefits, and slash and burn nutritional assistance for children and families.
Top House Democrat Hakeem Jeffries. More prayers for Pope Francis, hospitalized in Rome for a 12th day.
The Vatican says the pontiff remains in critical condition, but he had a quiet night at the hospital. Pope Francis is battling double pneumonia. A light drizzle in Rome let up as hundreds of Roman Catholics gathered to pray the rosary for Francis in St. Peter's Square.
Fox's Gary Baumgarten. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is a beautiful morning right now. We've got sunshine, and it is 45 degrees in Pensacola. Well, it was a hectic Tuesday at Gulf Coast Gun in Milton. They were the subject of a court-ordered inventory seizure by a loan company after they fell behind on payments. At one point yesterday, Santa Rosa County deputies were at that store. They were enforcing the court order as rifles, shotguns, and other weapons were taken from the store and placed in a van and a U-Haul. Store owner Chris Smith said their loan with Regions Bank was sold. He said the new owner added a big amount to the balance and went after the store's inventory.
They sold this loan. This company took this loan over in December. It was in good standing in June. They took over this loan officially in December. I honestly didn't really realize what was going on, and that's my fault. I guess I'm just not smart enough to realize what could happen. They jacked this loan up $150,000 extra dollars once they took over this loan. Regions sold this loan because they didn't want to have anything to do with guns, and a lot of banks don't want to have anything to do with guns. That's why they sold the loan. It had nothing to do with us paying back.
And Smith did post a lengthy video on social media detailing the entire situation from his point of view, and said ultimately he was able to reach a deal to save the store's inventory by liquidating personal assets. So Gulf Coast Gun will be open today and through the weekend, and they're running some sales. Again, you can see that video on the store's social media page if you want more information. Representative Michelle Salzman has proposed a bill to give parents more access to their kids' social media accounts and ban encrypted messages for minors. Salzman is sponsoring House Bill 743 in the upcoming legislative session that would restrict social media companies from allowing users under 16 to use encrypted messaging. It would also require those companies to give parents access to read their children's messages. Now, the Escambia Sheriff's Office praising their canine officers after two recent arrests where suspects attempted to flee into woods. In one case, a fatal shooting was reported after a drug deal in McDavid.
And we believe both of them were being disingenuous. Both of them were trying to rob the other. Ultimately, one of the guys pulled out a handgun and shot a couple times into the abdomen of the victim. Victim was later pronounced dead, and the suspect, I don't recall his name right now because I don't want to glorify him anyway, but he fled into the wooded area. We deployed our canines and set up a perimeter, and he realized he was not going to get out, so he gave himself up. So we are charging him with the homicide.
Sheriff Chip Simmons there. The other incident involved a disturbance between two roommates. Deputies arrested Joshua Welch in that incident. Simmons said he also fled into nearby woods and was located later on by a canine deputy. Well, Florida Republican Congressman Byron Donalds officially announcing he will be running for governor of Florida.
I joined the Tea Party movement, was in the conservative movement. I was able to serve 4 years in the state legislature, 4 years in Congress. And I think now is the time to now take the mantle and lead our state into the future.
Donalds told Fox News on Tuesday that he made the decision after a lot of prayer and thought with family and friends. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. PJ's got a look at her traffic on the fives.
Traffic presented to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands. Expert installation, 24/7 support, GeneratorSource.com. Taking a look at the big board, there is a vehicle crash on US 90 at Santa Villa Drive. There's a roadblock in that area. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Now, taking a look at our forecast for today. Right now, we do have clear skies, 45 degrees across the area, and sunshine. On our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime, I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer SHINE counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
At Pennair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pennair Credit Union. Because at Pennair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pennair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pennair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Ladies, do you want to feel more connected to our community? Consider joining Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a women's philanthropic group that has awarded 165 grants totaling more than $17 million in our community. Connect with other women and increase your area impact. Membership deadline is March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit Impact100Pensacola.org.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need.
It's easy to sign up for text alerts.
Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
I don't want the
government telling me what medicines or foods or anything that I have to take. I don't care if it's vitamin C and it's good for you. I take vitamin C every day. I don't want the government forcing me to take it.
And as far as the science goes, there is science out there that water fluoridation, it can have neurotoxic effects. However, those effects usually come at higher concentrations than what we have in our water supply.
And this is where kind of the conversation is right now. We're talking about fluoridating or not the water produced by ECUA for Escambia County. The last voice you heard there was Greg Digby, a local dentist who was at the meeting yesterday to explain his and the dental profession's view on fluoridation, that it is very helpful for particularly poor children or the elderly or, you know, the mentally disabled or people who, you know, may not get enough fluoride in their very bad American diet. And so it's helpful for them to have low dose fluoride in the water. The voice before that was Michelle Schneier, who was there to say, get them out of the business of medicating my water. We've talked about this quite a bit. We are going to continue talking about it because this is going to be a major community conversation. Joining us now, we have the executive director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, Bruce Woody. Bruce, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Let's start with some facts, because I think there's been a lot of allegations around this topic, and always you got to start with the facts. First thing is, the actual concentration of fluoride in water in Escambia County is what, and what determines, like, who sets that guidance?
We follow the recommendations of EPA and the CDC, which recommends a dosage rate at 0.7. parts per million or milligrams per liter, depending on your preferences, units there. And that's what we apply. 0.7. If you measure anywhere in our system, it's going to be 0.7 or less.
And that,
and the only reason I say or less is we have a decentralized water distribution system. There's 28 wells scattered across our community. Dosage is not at every single well, but at enough points to get to distributed in the system.
And the studies that are out there that indicate some neurotoxic effects for fluoride have to do with fairly higher doses of fluoride in the water. 1.5 to 3.0 parts per million is where the studies are on that, right? They haven't really got good studies on the 0.7 or lower parts per million, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Second question. The what is it? There's been a lot made of putting the ingredient into the water, the hydrosilicic acid, which is an industrial waste byproduct. It's horrible, terrible stuff. You'd never want to put it on your skin or drink it or any kind of that. And what I have said is that, yes, that's true. But when you put it in the water, it breaks down, and it breaks down into fluoride and a couple of inert materials like, you know, sand, basically. But you tell them. You're the expert. Is it a toxin in the storage, and once you add it to the water, what happens?
You can make the same argument for chlorine or lots of other elements that you either add to water or to foods or various other. It's a chemical formula, how it's derived versus how it occurs naturally in nature, or there are different approaches, but still it's a chemical formula. And the dosage rate is really what's important. You know, too much of anything can be a problem. Vitamin A, vitamin C is great, but in moderation it helps you, but in excess, you know, can be a problem. And that's really, I think, what the basic argument is, are we using an appropriate dosage rate? Should it be higher, lower, or not higher, obviously, but should it be lower? And then the philosophical argument of consent and should we be adding what's considered to be perhaps a medicine into the public water supply.
Right. And by the way, I think I said the name wrong. It's fluorosilicic acid, not hydro, whatever I said. But yeah, the basic element there is that even though the thing is toxic, like you say, chlorine, okay? Chlorine that you add to your pool, you would not want to drink that. That's bad. And you wouldn't want to drink massive volumes of it once it's in the water. But breaks down. I mean, there's a chemical transition that takes place when you add it to water. It fully dissolves into the water and produces things that are, on the one hand, the fluoridation, and on the other hand, things that are inert and don't hurt you, right? I mean, that's the chemical process once you've added it in that amount to the water, right?
Yeah, That is correct. Same analogy you just gave for pools. Most people use muriatic acid to balance the pH in the pool. You know, and that's something that has the same pH value as the fluoridation that we're using.
Yeah, you can clean your driveway with it at concentration, and you can, or at low doses, you can make your pool water safe, right? The next thing is, in terms of the process, the board doesn't have to have a referendum. They could just choose, because in the past it was a non-binding referendum to add it, right?
Technically, that is correct. They have the legal authority as a independent special district to make that decision independently. However, I think it is important to remember how we got to where we are now, and that is a prior board in around 1998 chose to solicit the opinions of the general voting public on the matter, sent it to them for a referendum. It was voted on, voter approved at a rate of about 60%. That's what influenced the decision back at that time. So now the concern is, if they choose not to go the referendum route, are you subverting the previous decisions and recommendations of the voting public? So would it be appropriate to follow suit this time around and again ask the general public to weigh in on it?
Which they have not officially done yet, but because they kind of they tabled it yesterday for the next meeting when the chair, Vicky, is going to be there in order to have a 5-person conversation about this. At this point, my own assessment is I'd be very surprised if they don't ask for a referendum in 2026. That seems to be where we're headed on this. We're talking to Bruce Woody. He's the executive director of VCO. We'll be back to Bruce in just a second. PJ's got Traffic on the Fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Lear Capital. Our financial system is cracking under pressure. Your retirement is at risk. Take control now. Lear Capital is offering a free sky-high silver report and precious metals IRA guide at betternestegg.com. Don't leave your future to chance. Taking a quick look at the big board, still dealing with that vehicle crash at US 90 and Santa Villa Drive. There's a roadblock in that area. Please use caution in that area. Also taking a quick peek at the front gate of NAS Pensacola. There's a backup quickly forming all the way back to Interbay Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the Fives.
Thanks, PJ. Back to Bruce Woody with ECUA. Bruce, you're kind of you are the subject matter expert for things like water. That is literally your job to be that expert. What the consensus is around the country doesn't necessarily solve a question, but what is the movement, if any, what has the movement been across the country? I know sort of in Florida how it's going, but are more water systems, I mean, a lot of water systems have never added fluoride. The ones that do, are they going away from it? Is there kind of some go up, some go down? You know, what is happening in the industry from your perspective?
As in most industries, there's professional organizations that help gather information and share information amongst folks in the same profession. In our industry, it's American Water Works Association, or there's a few others as well. So we get industry information on what's going on. It really varies quite a bit across the United States. I would say if there's any pattern, it's probably more along political lines than it is an argument over the science. Blue states tend to favor it. Red states are moving away from it a little more. Most communities are making these decisions on a municipality or county wide basis rather than a state basis. There are some exceptions. Right now in Utah, there's a statewide bill that's already been passed by the legislature, and it's sitting in front of Governor Spencer Cox's desk right now to decide whether to remove fluoridation from the entire state. Right here in Florida, there's a farm bill, SB 700, that's being considered. Obviously, it has to go through both sides of the House and conference committee, et cetera, and the governor's approval, but there's potential for it being banned statewide here by way of the state legislature. But unless or until that happens, it's really a decision that's made individually at each water district or municipality.
And the plan right now, as I understand it, is probably to call for a referendum and then to have some community engagement, invite in subject matter experts. I assume there's going to be an invite to Joe Latipo to come talk, but also to representatives of the dental community or the various professional societies that have an interest in this, like American Water Association. That seems to be kind of where we're headed. Is that where you think we're kind of the process from here going forward?
Yes, I do think that's probably where it's going to go. One comment or concern I have is if we go the referendum route, which is the most likely at this point, I think, it wouldn't go to the voters until November of 26 for a general election.
Right.
So there's a lot of time between now and then. There will be certain factions that are very passionate about the subject who will continue to argue and push that it's a decision that the board ought to make earlier rather than wait the period of time it takes to do that in November 26.
I completely agree.
That's probably the biggest friction point.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, because the people who say it ought to be out, doesn't matter what the public says, they're partially on the science argument, but partially on the moral argument, as you say, of adding a medicine to the water. That's the thing that they're going to, I think, emphasize a lot. And I mean, not without reason. Mm-hmm. So other matters that you guys are involved in, you're doing some strategic planning for ECUA. Is that right?
Yes, we haven't done strategic planning in a while in this organization, so I'm really pleased that we're going through that process right now. We are updating our missions and visions, of course, for the entire organization and setting new objectives. One thing that's coming out of that process in the last week and a half that I'm quickly pleased and look forward to talking to the board in more detail about is our ongoing concern to really emphasize the basic service of replacing, upgrading antiquated or older, aging infrastructure. It's a problem across the entire United States. We're not immune to it any more than anybody else. And trying to focus on getting that accomplished while we do regular daily business, I think, is very important for future generations.
Yeah, don't wait until stuff breaks to fix it. I'd very much appreciate
but it's a struggle.
Only because I talk so much about this with regards to Milton and Santa Rosa County and their wastewater treatment and stuff they're dealing with. I just don't know the answer. I should know, and I don't know the answer. Bayou Marcus and the cantonment facility, where does the treated effluent go? Is it discharged into land, into rapid infill basins, into spray fields, into waterways? Where does it go at present? Because I don't know the answer, and I'm curious.
Yeah, we have three water reclamation places, water reclamation facilities. You just mentioned two of them. The Bayou Marcus facility, its treated effluent goes into a approximately 1,500 acre wetlands, so it receives tertiary treatment above and beyond the treatment we provide, even before it eventually goes out to Perdido Bay. And by the way, we treat.
Oh, it's the boardwalk. It's everything around the boardwalk, right? It's that whole. That's what that facility
is. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Duh.
That's right.
I did know that. Okay.
And by the way, we're completely repaving the boardwalk. That first phase of it opened last Monday. Yeah. We'll be completing the other phase by the end of May.
Outstanding.
The up at the central water reclamation facility, it goes three different directions. A portion of it goes over to International Paper, and they use it as a production
okay.
Operations. About 3 to 5 million gallons a day goes that direction. Another 3 or 4 million gallons a day goes toward Florida Power and Light. And they use it in cooling towers and some of their facilities. The balance of that then goes to spray fields. ECUA owns 2,000 acres around our facility, and spray fields on that facility is where the balance of it goes.
Okay, so high-demand water industries use a lot of it, but the rest is spray fields. And then also the beach one, right? Is that the third one?
Yes, that is the third one. We do have a discharge permit into the sound at that location. We are currently working on a water reclamation project that's being constructed in about four phases, where the effluent will be used for irrigating the medians and will be available to purchase from hotels, et cetera, for irrigating landscaping.
Okay.
We've been irrigating the medians probably for several years now, 5-6 years or more. We're expanding that system and eventually get to the point where we'll have very little, if any, discharge to the zone.
Am I right in thinking that you guys would have to have all of that discharge out of the sound by 2032 under the FTEP rules? Am I in the right vicinity on that?
Yeah, Senate Bill 64.
Okay.
And that applies to everybody across the state.
Right. Okay. I thought that was true, but I had never kind of put that together. So excellent. Well, Bruce Woody, he is the executive director at ECUA. That means for Escambia County, they handle the sewage, they handle the recycling, they handle the compost facility. They also handle all of your water and your, I call it garbage. They call it solid waste. Everybody's got their terms. But Bruce, thank you for doing such important work and overseeing the important work of what your agency does for our community. I know it's something we all take for granted, but we really, really do benefit from it. I think you can make the argument that indoor plumbing was the key breakpoint in the old world order and the new world order, and we certainly wouldn't be where we are without indoor plumbing. So I appreciate it. Bruce, thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Absolutely.
All right.
Always appreciate the opportunity to share information. Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Thank you, Andrew. There is a vehicle crash on US 90 at Santa Villa Drive in Milton. They're saying the roadway is blocked, but it looks like US 90 is still flowing smoothly. Also, the other trouble spot is the front gate of NES Pensacola that is now backed up to Central Avenue. So be aware of that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
I mean, you could definitely make the argument that indoor plumbing has saved more lives than antibiotics. Like, it's that big of a deal that that nobody ever thinks much about.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Sunbelt Conference Basketball returns to Pensacola, Florida, March 4th for the Men's and Women's Championships.
Cinderella finds a way.
Get your seats at the Pensacola Bay Center. Tickets are on sale now.
Puts it up. And in!
The 2025 Sunbelt Basketball Championships from the stunning Florida Panhandle in Pensacola, March 4th through the 10th. Go to Ticketmaster.com for the best in college basketball postseason action.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Have you recently been involved in a car wreck? Well, if so, we can help.
That's right. At Frank Buys Junk Cars, we buy junk cars in any condition. Wreck, crash, smash, bash, on fire, put out. Frank Buys Junk Cars. Call today. Get paid today.
Frank got me $400 for my junk car.
Buys Junk Cars. Frank Buys Junk Cars.
850-525-2035. Frank Buys Junk Cars.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Mama always said dying was a part of life. I sure wish it was.
At 560, turn left on runway 4 left, cross runway 31 left, and hold short of runway 31 center.
All right, left on two, on 4 left, cross the 22 or 13 center, flex at 560.
Flex at 560, negative, cross runway 31 left, hold short runway 31 center.
Cross 31 left, hold short, 31 turn, flex at 560.
I am not an expert, but that sounds like a very confused pilot who is not understanding the instructions that were given to him, which then led to the Southwest jet saying,
Southwest 2504 going around.
We're getting back out of this situation, and then when they finally got up to a safe space.
Yeah, sorry, Southwest 2504, how'd that happen?
God. Yeah, how'd that happen? Well, let's just say in the end, because of good piloting, nothing bad happened, but pretty scary.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP.